How do some of our local checkoffs work with sports dietitians?
The University of Nebraska, the sports dietitian there and director of performance is a sports dietitian who's kind of a pioneer in the field. And we've been partnering with him. They want to make sure that those athletes are fueled properly. The nutrition that the quarterback needs versus one of the guys on the defensive line, the training table helps address that. It's an opportunity for them to create their own pizzas. And of course, cheese is a big part of that for some protein. We're also working with Mr. Ellis on some podcasts that are part of the Husker Radio Network. And he says that dairy is one of the highest quality and valuable protein sources for his athletes.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Your Dairy Checkoff Podcast. I am Lori Winkleman, a dairy farmer's daughter and part-time farmer on weekends, as well as a dairy cow nutritionist in Wisconsin. I am joined by Joe Shockey, a veterinarian and dairy farmer from West Virginia. Today, joining us for our podcast on sports nutrition, we have two registered dietitians. First is Liz Jalkowitz, a registered dietitian and the nutrition specialist with the American Dairy Association Northeast. Also joining us today is Julie Mattson-Ostro, a registered dietitian and the vice president of dairy experience and wellness with Midwest Dairy. So before we dive into our discussion about sports nutrition, let's learn a little bit more about our guests. Liz, would you like to please tell us a little bit more about your work?
Thank you guys for having me on today. I'm really excited to be here and speak to our dairy farmers about our sports nutrition program. So like you said, I'm one of the health and wellness specialists here at ADAIN, and I am a registered dietitian. I have over 15 years experience in the field, and I'm honored to say that for the past 3.5 years, I've been able to work on behalf of our dairy farmers. In my role here at ADAIN, I provide dairy nutrition education and outreach programs to health professionals and key thought leaders in our territory. And some of them include sports dietitians. With that program, I help them lead and manage our sports nutrition advisory panel. And we'll get into a little more detail about that today. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for sharing what you do, Liz. It sounds like you certainly get to talk to a lot of influential people when it comes to sports nutrition. How about you, Julie? Tell us a little bit more about your work.
Thanks, Lori. I'm proud to be here. I am the Vice President of Dairy Experience Wellness. I've worked on behalf of dairy farmers for over 15 years and have been a registered dietitian since the last century, let's just say that. I, as the Vice President of Dairy Experience Wellness, am responsible for directing the sustainable nutrition and wellness activities on behalf of our dairy farmers in 9 Midwest states, going from North Dakota, South Dakota, Minnesota, Iowa, Illinois, Nebraska, Missouri, Kansas, and Arkansas.
Hi, this is Joe Shockey, a veterinarian and a dairy farmer from West Virginia. Great to meet you, Liz and Julie. Thanks for joining Lori and I today. One of my first questions for you is, and Liz or Julie, either one of you can answer, why does it seem like many athletes and fitness influencers are touting dairy alternatives versus real dairy products like chocolate milk? What is the Dairy Checkoff doing about this?
Well, I think it depends on who you're listening to. There are lots of people in the fitness world who are also promoting chocolate milk and the benefits of dairy. Let me give you just a firsthand example. This happened to me a couple years ago while I was at the American College of Sports Medicine, one of the leading professional organizations in sports fitness. And National Dairy Council, DMI, had a booth at the meeting. And I've also been to a lot of registered dietitian, we call it FENCI, it's their professional meeting for dietitians, been to a lot of those national meetings. I had had so many people come up to me at the booth at the sports medicine conference. We're so excited to see dairy, love dairy, couldn't help talking about it, how they talked about it to their clients and the people that they work with. So I think it depends on the sector that you're in. One of the neat things about Dairy Checkoff is that in all of the different state and regions, we all do something a little bit differently. And so across the country, you'll see kind of some variations on things, but I think Checkoff is doing a lot. I would say we also lean into our friends at Milk Pep, who have a huge chocolate milk campaign called Built with Chocolate Milk, again, leaning on the science. And many people will remember last summer, the viral video of Olympian Katie Ledecky as she was swimming across the swimming pool with that glass of chocolate milk on her head.
If I can, I just wanted to piggyback a little bit off what Julie was saying. And when it comes to certain fitness influencers, unfortunately, I think, you know, sometimes they think the louder they are, the more that they'll be heard or seen. And it seems like sometimes people who maybe don't have that education are just taking all the information they get on social media and like piecing things together. And so that's where, you know, in terms of the SRs, where we come in. And I know, you know, here at Adain, we focus on the Gen Z athlete as part of our sports nutrition advisory panel. We know that Gen Z has a lot of purchasing power, like $100 billion in purchasing power as a generation, as a segment. And so we really try to focus on them for our sports nutrition messaging as athletes and showing them how dairy can play a role in your diet to achieve optimal sports performance. So that's just one thing. Joe, that's a great question. We do see it a lot on social media and people are just getting their information from there, unfortunately. So it's our job as part of the Checkoff and using the dairy farmers' dollars to set the record straight and be louder and share the evidence-based information when it comes to dairy, but making sure that we package it in a way so that it actually is consumed by Gen Z and by other consumers as well.
I had no idea that you spend so much of your time going to meetings and conferences that we as dairy farmers don't even know exist. Like, we don't think about college coaches going to meetings and then being educated by people like you. So you just highlighted some of the things that as a farmer, we will never get to see per se, but hopefully the message does filter down then to our local level. Speaking of local level, how do some of our local checkoffs work with sports dietitians?
We work with sports dietitians in a few different ways, but primarily we work with them through the Sports Nutrition Advisory Panel, which for the sake of me saying that long name throughout the podcast, we call it SNAP. So we work with SNAP, and we have 16 sports dietitians who sit on that panel. First and foremost, they are dairy advocates. And so we make sure we vet through them, we look at their social media, we look at the different things that they've done in their career. We talk to them, interview them before they serve on this panel. We have 16 of them throughout our territory, and they specialize in sports nutrition. The credential for a sports dietitian is a CSSD, which is a certified sports dietitian. And so that's credentialed through the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics, or CDR, which basically manages the licensure and the credentialing of our position as a dietitian. We work with them primarily as content experts. So they create content for us all year long. And the main purpose of it is to send it out to high school coaches in our territory. And there's over 14,000 of them that receive this content on a monthly basis. So the end user of this content is the high school student athlete. We reach over 85,000 student athletes on a monthly basis with the content that they are creating. It's really important to know that, you know, as sports dietitians, they're using evidence-based information that's on trend, it's relevant, it's what they're hearing on the ground in terms of what are the topics that these athletes want to read about and learn about. And so we're creating this content for them in a blog format and in video format as well.
The certified, the specialized dietitian, sports dietitian, it's a very specialized, higher level, if you will, credential certification within the world of nutrition and dietetics. The work that Midwest is doing, is focusing actually on those college athletes. And so we have some really cool examples going on. The University of Nebraska at Lincoln, also known as the Huskers, the sports dietitian there and director of performance is a sports dietitian who's kind of a pioneer in the field, if you will. And we've been partnering with him, a gentleman named Dave Ellis, to support their training table. And sports teams, you know, over the years, the collegiate teams, they invest a whole lot in these athletes that come to campus and help build their programs. And especially when you look at a Big Ten group like the Nebraska Cornhuskers or some of the other groups that we work with, they want to make sure that those athletes are fueled properly. And if you think about it, especially a football team, you know, the nutrition that the quarterback needs versus one of the guys on the defensive line versus even the kicker or punter is totally different. So that's really, really specialized in what they do. The training table helps address that. And one of the cool things that they're doing in Nebraska is we supported them with some new things like a pizza oven. They cook just for those students. They come into the training area and it's an opportunity for them to create their own pizzas. And of course, cheese is a big part of that for some protein. We're also working with Mr. Ellis on some podcasts that are part of the Husker Radio Network. He says that dairy is one of the highest quality and valuable protein sources for his athletes. So going on great dairy champions like this, getting those messages out, not only to those athletes who are, you know, working in those programs, but also in some of those broadcasts are another great way to get that message out about the importance of dairy in athletics. The other one that I want to share is with South Dakota State University. We call it SDSU. And we've working with a sports dietitian actually from the Sanford Health Systems, which is one of the larger health systems in the upper Midwest. We're partnering with them to promote the benefits of chocolate milk to student athletes. And so chocolate milk is offered to all of the SDSU student athletes for their refueling stations. And they also use whey protein powder as part of their smoothie regimen. Recently, we recorded different coaches and athletic trainers from SDSU in a video testimonial that is also playing at some of their basketball and football games. So again, I think we all do different kinds of things, different focus, but I think you'll see there's a commonality with the Gen Z audience as promoting sound research and science that shows the benefits of dairy.
Julie, you definitely had my attention when you said pizza oven, because I eat pizza probably 4 or 5 nights a week because I'm hungry all the time as a marathon runner and CrossFit athlete. So pizza is literally my favorite food, loaded with extra cheese.
Well, I think most people agree with you. And also, you know, these athletes, they're also needing to show them how to fuel themselves when they're not on campus or when they're, you know, going to an away game or something like that. So I think pizza is a common language. And then, of course, Lori, the more cheese you have, right? And you get that great cheese pull. Everybody loves that. So
yeah, you can't go wrong. Nope. And you just mentioned something that hits home for me too. I volunteer coach high school cross country, and we have a great athletic trainer who then comes in and does have a nutrition background. So it's always key for me when she starts talking about nutrition, that she's including dairy, but she talks to them about, well, what to eat after the race and what to eat before the race. And especially with runners, it's very important what you eat before the race, but mm-hmm. the refueling after and how to pack for that really is important. And it sounds like you guys are preparing lots of athletes with information in that regard too. But when it comes to the farmer, again, me and Joe, where do we go find this information about refueling and sports nutrition? What are the best resources for us?
Well, I would advocate for your local dairy council, both Adane and Midwest, as well as National Dairy Council, MDMI, dairygood.org, and all of our websites and Instagram posts. We have lots of great information.
Yeah, I agree, Julie. I was just going to say also that for American Dairy, you know, all those websites you just mentioned are great. We just recently revamped our website, AmericanDairy.com, last summer, a lot more user-friendly than it was in the past. And so if someone does go to our site or if farmers direct people there, you can just search things specific to keyword and actually get the information you're looking for. So if they're looking for protein handout that's specific to protein or calcium or vitamin D or running or sport specific, you know, they can find that information pretty easily.
There's also a Whey Protein Research Consortium, and there's a website, you know, for folks to go check that out. Lots of awesome science. I know Dairy Management Incorporated is a partner in that research, along with lots of other organizations to processors and associations and multinational brands. So lots of really good science and information. A lot of athletes are looking for how can I pack as much punch? And usually that comes in the punch of protein. How can I get that into food without having lots of quantity? As you probably know, if you're going to go out for a run or if you're going to be in some kind of endurance sport. So whey protein tends to be one of the things that athletes love to be able to add to a smoothie, or you can put it into oatmeal, lots of other kinds of foods. But that's another resource that there's lots of really good stuff on.
As a dairy farmer, and as I've gotten older, one of the things I've enjoyed partnering with the local dairy association, ADA Mideast out of Columbus, Ohio, which serves both Ohio and West Virginia. We host the dietitians from Ohio University in Athens. And I always enjoy that group. I love hosting the dietitians from OU because they're so knowledgeable. But the one thing that they're lacking that I've noticed, they've never been on a farm. And so we give them that authentic experience when we host them, our families around, we take them on a tour of the farm. You know, everybody loves to see the baby calves. Mm-hmm. Everybody loves to see the kittens, but we take them through the milking parlor while we're actively milking cows. We explain the process. You know, at the end of the day, we all just have to work together to explain how this works. And in terms of the sports nutrition, I think that's lost on a lot of kids today. I'm not a marathon runner like you, but I know with our children, it's so important how they eat is how they perform. But we see these opportunities here in West Virginia, like at all the state championships. And again, this is a partnership through the Mideast Dairy Association, where they talk about built with chocolate milk. I know there's a lot of promotions with chocolate milk, and I'm starting to see some of the other college football teams, maybe like Georgia and Michigan State, recently are signing some of these NIL deals, the name, image, and likeness. Mm-hmm. Can anybody talk about what you're doing with these college teams and add to what you're doing with the high school teams, or maybe even the national team with like the Fuel Up to Play 60 and these different things? I think it's important that we all work together to share the great nutrition found in dairy.
I think this is part of the beauty of SRs, because we all do work in, while the umbrella topic here is sports nutrition, I think you guys can see already that how Adane works with sports nutrition and how Julie at Midwest works with it are a little different. Their focus is a little bit more on the college age, while our focus here is a little more on the high school app. There's a lot of synergies here, but I think we're reaching different people, which is a good thing. So again, our focus is Gen Z athletes primarily, even though Gen Z is like 10 to 23, we're focusing more on like that 13 to 18 year old here at Adane. And we do have, you know, our NFL partnerships with 7 teams within our territory, from New York State down to DC. And we do have the Fuel Up to Play 60 program, which is very active, and kids love it and the schools love it and participate. And it's a great way to influence these high school athletes and these kids who are participating in sports to get them active and get them to consider using chocolate milk as a refuel beverage. We also have our sports nutrition advisory panelists, who some of them work as the NFL team dietitians in our territory. And so we're lucky to be able to work with them and get some insights and trends from them and what they're seeing from a professional athlete side of things, and bring those topics and those messages back to like the high school athlete in terms of things to learn about. While not all things may resonate, there's definitely, like Julie was saying, protein, different supplements, just because they're buzzwords and they're things that people want to hear about. But at the end of the day, you know, we want to focus on the positive dairy message that milk, cheese, yogurt, and other dairy products have to offer in the diet to help them achieve optimal sports performance. So that's the end goal there. We also work with 6 high school athletic associations in our territory. So this could be like the New York State Public High School Athletic Association, Pennsylvania, DC, New Jersey, each state or big region has one. And so we have sponsorships with them where we can help to provide chocolate milk to student athletes at championship games as a refuel beverage. And, you know, I'll just pause there for a second because I think there's really no better way to make a positive impact on getting the message across than when you can put the product in the hands of these student athletes. That really drills the point home. And I think combined with messaging in these stadiums or different sporting event locations, we provide banner ads, messaging on branded products and different ways so that not only are they holding the product in their hand and drinking it, but they're also seeing the messaging there. Another aspect is in the digital space. Over the years, it's just become more and more relevant to be present in the digital space and not only just putting ads out and putting posts out, but really targeting who you want this message to be seen by. And so I think that's where sometimes dairy farmers may not see our messaging in the digital space, but that's probably because maybe they're not the target for that specific message. Like we're trying to get that 14, 15 year old soccer player in high school to see that chocolate milk is a great refuel beverage, right? So that to me is just something worth touching on a little bit because yes, there's like traditional advertising to high school athletes and college and professional teams, but I think understanding like the digital component to it and being present on social to educate these high school athletes on chocolate is a great refill beverage is really important to understand too.
I just, Liz was pulling at my heartstrings there a little bit because I keep mentioning our children, but our daughters with the high school soccer and all the travel soccer that they do during the high school season for all road games, my wife and I provide chocolate milk from the local dairy processor. And we try to share that story. And we've had some of the girls come up to us afterwards and ask us questions. And they make that connection to a real dairy farmer. But they say what they look forward to after the game is having that chocolate milk in hand to drink.
I think we have like a really good connection here in that we have these regional milk marketing groups, ADA, and Midwest Dairy, Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board, or all of the different letters and associations, groups working from the top down, but then listening to Joe talk about providing chocolate milk to his daughter's teams. And one of the dairy farmers I work with provided it to the local soccer team. It sounds like we could try to work even more in concert. And I think at the grassroots level, we just need to know that we can ask our milk marketing association for help, whether that's in funding or promotion or material. We just need to know that you guys are here for us when we're trying to work at that kindergarten soccer game on Saturday morning or whatever it might be. But it sounds like maybe we just don't even know that these resources exist that you have. And this is really good to hear that we can meld some of the, you know, bigger group effort with our grassroots efforts on the ground. So that's really awesome.
You know, Liz was talking about the social media part, and I highly agree, especially with the Gen Z audience. And one of our staff members in Illinois has been working with the Illinois High School Association now. It's both athletics as well as extracurricular kinds of activities. But we currently are doing a TikTok competitions. It's IHSA Dairy, which is Illinois High School Association Dairy is the hashtag. And you can see some of these videos. One of the reasons that these are so successful is these are authentic videos that these students are creating, really, really clever kinds of things, anywhere from a girls' basketball team going onto a dairy farm, dressed up in holiday gear, just having fun, dancing, enjoying milk, a lot of milk and cookies in these videos. But they're all having a really good time and sharing that positive dairy message. Again, it wasn't just chocolate milk, it was milk, cheese, for the most part. But we did have a contest. We know that contest. People are competitive. And there are four finalists currently up on their website to vote for: a football team, a bowling team, a girls a basketball, and a girls softball team. So the winning video, if you will, the students will win an Undeniably Dairy prize package, and their coaches will be able to go to a special trip to Hallis Hall, which, if you're a Bears fan, you know that is the practice facility for the Chicago Bears, and not everybody gets to go into Hallis Hall. So that's a pretty big deal. So we're really excited about that, to be able to showcase to that audience and promote the benefits of dairy. There are 32 NFL teams, and I think all of our states and regions have some kind of relationship with those NFL teams. And we do, and I'm sure Liz does as well. We have the Minnesota Vikings, the Chicago Bears, and the Kansas City Chiefs. And we are, you know, always excited to work with those athletes. And that's one of the things, obviously, that we vet out for, is somebody who will eat and drink dairy and also talk about it and promote it.
Julie, you'll have to share the links for the videos to the show notes so that people can check that out. Could you guys tell us a little more about what you continue to plan to do to reach Gen Z in the coming years?
Yeah, one of the other things, Joe mentioned it earlier, is also, in July of last year, or this year, NCAA athletes are now allowed to sign endorsement deals for their NILs, their name, image, and likeness, again, without any threat to their ability to keep their eligibility. So we are going to, in some of our areas, working with a sports technology company that maximizes these value of endorsements for athletes. And you can go on, and some are, you know, lower cost. We're going to be doing that and looking for some of those student athletes in our various regions. Again, we go all the way from North Dakota all the way down to Arkansas. There's a lot of diversity and a lot of really talented people.
Yeah, and I'll add to that, Lori, in terms of reaching Gen Z. But what we're excited to say is that in 2022, we are working on a strategy that is going to reach Gen Z directly, the Gen Z athlete directly on social media and in the digital space. And again, it's that sweet spot of 13 to 18 years old, because what they want to see is vastly different than what a 22 or 23-year-old wants to see. So we're working on gathering some Gen Z insights and research right now, and plan to do some focus groups in Q1 with this target audience to really get our finger on the pulse, to better understand what it is that they're looking for when it comes to sports nutrition content, what it is that, how do they want to digest this information, how do they want it packaged up, and how do they want to receive it. So that we can, you know, instead of just trying to do our best as a SR, we want to really talk to our target audience, figure out what it is they want, and then deliver strategically. So, you know, not being on TikTok and just posting here and there, but being on TikTok with a purpose, with a strategy, consistently over time, so that when they see our mess, so we really want to make sure we're on there with a purpose, we're getting our best use of dairy farmers' dollars to make an impact with a positive dairy message when it comes to like optimal sports performance and including dairy in the diet. Julie was mentioning though before, because I also am not on TikTok myself. And I think that's just a testament to that. Like, if we're not on these platforms, how can we possibly come up with the answer? Right. So like really going to the source, talking to the Gen Z athlete themselves, figuring out what it is they want is that's to me, like, that's the golden nugget. That's what we have to figure out before we can devise a plan to implement any messaging that will resonate with them. So if we're not in that space every day, scrolling through TikTok videos for 2 hours and seeing what's trending, you know, how can we possibly know that answer? So we really have to come up with a plan, talk to the target audience that we're looking to send these messages out to, and really get a better understanding of what it is they want.
What I know of TikTok, there's that authenticity. So if there's a lot of like sponsored content and it's very obvious, that gets called out. I mean, you know, it could backfire on you. There's lots and lots of influences. And as Liz said, I don't necessarily have to be in it, but I have to understand. And that's what our job is at Checkoff, is to understand that, to know who those people are and who those athletes, and if we can get them to make the content that resonates with them, even stronger. The more dairy champions we have, the better we're all going to be.
Well, Julie, I find that very interesting about TikTok, and I'm also in the older generation, but our daughter Reagan, she's 14 years old. And when she wakes up in the morning, she's on TikTok. Mm-hmm. When she goes to bed at night, she's on TikTok. And she knew that I was going to participate in this podcast. And she was just sharing with me some TikToks that were promoting dairy. Mm-hmm. And then you mentioned the Illinois High School Athletic mm-hmm. Association and the contest and competitions. Do you think it would be kind of a national, down to a grassroots thing, that we could get some of these high school kids more engaged and maybe create a chocolate milk challenge throughout their sports seasons?
The big thing that I've learned, my observation of TikTok, is it still has to be authentic. And it has to be them coming up with it and not us old people saying, okay, you have to do this and you have to say that messaging. So that's the hard part. The other piece, I think, Joe, is the more of our youth, our farmer youth, our kids who are growing up on farms, helping to tell their story about what it's like. And there are various people who are doing that with content, but to be able to show what it's like that you live where your family works, and maybe this is land that your grandparents and great-grandparents had, that kind of stuff is like, the city people have no clue. I mean, we did a Fuel Up to Play 60 activity several years ago, and a lot of kids from the Minneapolis-St. Paul area, and we had a farmer talking about how he'd been up late helping a calf being born and about milk and all this great stuff. And this little boy kept raising his hand and shaking his arm. And he's like, I have to ask you, how do you get the milk? I mean, he really thought they went to the local grocery store to get the milk. So the more that, you know, you youth like your daughters and other farmer kids can share that story and connect on a one-on-one level, is huge.
I was going to say, and maybe cool. We should have name, image, likeness for farm kid athletes, where we pay them to make little TikToks for us.
That'd be cool. Yeah. If you could find where those athletes are, I know there's lots of them. That would be a cool twist.
Yeah. This is just another example of like how much you guys are doing behind the scenes that the typical dairy farmer demographic wouldn't get to see. That's just really, mm-hmm. really neat.
Well, Lori, like when we were in college, I didn't know what the dairy associations did. And it wasn't until I got older that it's like, wow, that's very impactful. And I think you said earlier in the podcast, they are behind the scenes having conversations. There's a Sharon Maynard who lives in our mm-hmm. state,
yep.
and she's reaching out to the medical doctors and the people with the school nutrition directors. She's having these conversations, and she's a resource. Because, you know, farmers on a day-to-day, they have a lot they have to do. But at the end of the day, farmers, I think, need to speak up more, and they need to reach out to their dairy associations and find out how they can help.
Love it. We agree, Joe. And I'm Liz and her colleagues, as well as I and my colleagues, do the same thing as Sharon does at Mideast, is talking to those physicians, those thought leaders and influencers as well. We're trying to come at it from various angles, you know, the thought leaders as well as those actual consumers.
Yeah.
Well, you know, something, I'm a young professional as a veterinarian, something I found, you trust friends and family the most. Mm-hmm. And so graduating from a place like Ohio State, there were people who graduated from law school, graduated from the dentistry program, were medical doctors, so forth and so on. And if they have this misinformation that starts at an early age, it just continues so many of these false narratives about the dairy industry and about dairy nutrition. Mm-hmm. So again, we all just have to work together to share this great story about the awesome nutrition.
At Midwest, we do a lot of consumer research, consumer insights, and lately we've had some different reports come back, and they all keep telling us, don't lose sight of the fact that dairy is a beloved industry. The household penetration of dairy is so high that most other brands would love to have, 90%+ of your product in consumer households. So not to lose sight of that, and even though it feels like there's alternative kind of beverages, those are around, but people still love dairy. People love cheese, they love milk, they love the creaminess, they love hot chocolate, they love dairy, pizza, all of those things. So, you know, I think to sit back, and as a dietitian and as a mom, as much as I want to pound the nutrition, the bottom line is that people enjoy it and they will eat it. It's not nutrition if it's not eaten or drank. So I go into 2022 with lots of hope and excitement that that dairy still has a solid place in American diets.
Yeah, it's a staple. And I think in the retail space too, when people are shopping, I mean, there's no denying that there's a lot of other options available in the refrigerator case. But I think where our role comes in as health professionals is to educate, right? So at the end of the day, the consumer is going to make the decision they want, and they may have both milk and a milk dairy or, an alternative in their refrigerator, but it's our job to educate them. And there's no competition when it comes to the nutritional value of milk versus an alternative. And that's just as simple as it can get. Like when we compare labels and when we look at the nutrition of these alternative options compared to real dairy, there's no competition. And so we try to drill that point home, talk about 13 essential nutrients, talk about the protein, vitamin D, and the list goes on and on of why dairy is a staple and should continue to be a staple in your household.
And so true, Liz. And to take that a step further back to our athletes who are performing to get into college, who are performing maybe at their highest level or to go on to the pros, that science, that's the difference. A lot of times, as you alluded to other athletes, Lori, why, you know, they may have be more vulnerable to broken bones, whatever, if they don't have all of the nutrients that dairy provides. So
what do you guys think is the value of sports dietitians giving food advice to clients, and how should sports dietitians reach their customers?
So I definitely, there's 100% value in working with sports dietitians when it comes to sharing the positive dairy message to athletes. For one, again, these are credentialed health professionals, right? So when you're comparing them to just some fitness guru on TikTok, the information is going to be vastly different. The TikToker is going to want to just share something that's going to get them a million followers. The sports dietitian is going to share some evidence-based, accurate information that will actually help you get to your goals of whatever those sports related goals may be. And so I think that's the key differentiator. We want to get this information into the hands of these credentialed health professionals so they can share this message with their end user. And there are plenty of sports dietitians who have huge followings on social media that across the country, a lot of the SRs are working with, which is excellent. And we need to continue doing that work. But aside from the social media component, a lot of these sports dietitians also do a lot of media. So they're doing local media segments, national media segments. They're working, they're authors, they have blogs. So people are finding their content, and it's our job as SRs and to make the best use of the farmer's dollar to get the accurate information into their hands. And whether that be research, whether that be a consumer-friendly like infographic or a video, something that they can then turn around and share with their community and their followers, their patients and clients. That's part of what our job is to get the accurate information into their hands so it can reach the consumer. And so for me, working with sports dietitians over someone who is just promoting information but doesn't have the credentials to back it up, it's for us, it's better to work with a credentialed health professional because we know that that information is going to be accurate when they share it with their client.
I totally agree. And the thing that Liz and I have in common with those sports dietitians is we can speak the same language. You know, we're really in the same profession. They have a specialized credential on top of that. But the big thing, and really this is one of the main reasons I was really drawn to working for Checkoff, is that we're grounded in science. And that's what we have in common within the dietetics profession. I mentioned the College of Sports Medicine, those fitness professionals who are also grounded in science. That's the commonality in that language that we speak. So when we start talking science, dairy, you know, dairy has a leg up for sure compared to lots of other alternative types of options.
At the end of the day, how do we measure success with the types of programs that our dairy associations are participating in?
In all of the work that I do, it's either trust or sales, and I think it's both. And they're so related that it's really hard to pull those apart. But, you know, the sales is real, I don't say easy to get, but those are easy for all of us to get and understand. And you get a cash register tape, you see what was gone through a cafeteria or a fast food restaurant or whatever it is in some of our partners to see what those results are. And we can all relate to that. The trust is harder, but I think it's the most important, because if we don't have people's trust, I don't think we're going to get the sales. And so it's an ongoing challenge. At least for us at Midwest Dairy, is how to measure that trust and measure it accurately and successfully. A lot of what we do is telling those stories, like I've shared some of the stories back about what was going on at Nebraska or South Dakota or even the Illinois High School Association, to share some of that back with our farmer funders.
Julie, I think what you said about trust is really important and interesting. And I have a PhD in cow nutrition, so I love science, but people don't always respond to science-based information, but they mm-hmm. respond to people they trust, like Joe said. And I was listening to a podcast or at a meeting or something, and they talk about who do consumers trust. The least amount of trust, I think, is near the government, right? Like nobody mm-hmm. trusts the government. And then further down, you know, lawyers and some other jobs, and then science is in the middle, and then way down on the other end where 100% of trust is with a farmer. So I think you brought up a very important point about you have to have the science to be right, but you need the face of the farmer to gain the trust yeah. of the consumers to get them to buy the sales. And I think we're in a unique industry where we have the science too, but we have the trustworthy, friendly faces of farmers mm-hmm. that are passionate about their careers and jobs yes. that want people to consume dairy products.
Yep, for sure. Our secret weapon has always been our dairy farmers.
That's so true. Yeah, Lori, those are great points. We do a lot of pre and post surveys. Like we do webinar series for our health professionals, or even last year we did a Comeback Stronger webinar series for student athletes when sports were starting to come back after being shut down for all those months. And we measure their views of dairy pre and post survey. Like, what's your overall view of dairy? Positive, neutral, negative? How many servings do you consume a day of dairy? Like, do you know where to find our resources on our AmericanDairy.com website? So we want to measure their before and after our webinar so that we can show the benefit of doing that education with them, and that they have improved their view. They know where to go for resources on our website. So those are some, just an example of some metrics that we measure through a webinar and as an example.
Really cool. So how can farmers get involved?
I would say, so just again, like specific to American Dairy, but obviously there's tons of resources at the national level too, and at each of the state and region websites. So wherever you're listening from today, check out your local state and region website. See if they have a sports nutrition specific tab on their website, or search for sports nutrition. But at American Dairy, I would say number one, go to AmericanDairy.com. We have under the health and wellness tab a sports nutrition specific page, or you can visit our blog at the Dairy Diary on our website and just sort it out by sports nutrition. So share our content with your local high school athletes, coaches, trainers, parents of these athletes. Get them to see our content so that they can see the positive message around dairy when it comes to their child or their athlete's nutrition and how dairy can play a positive role in that. On our social accounts, we share at least one piece of sports nutrition specific a month, if not more, but definitely one. And just referring people to the site, it's so consumer friendly. A lot of the SR websites are consumer friendly, and so they can go there for accurate nutrition information.
And I'll put a plug in for reaching out to your dairy leadership. the farmer leadership within your own community. Ask questions, ask what's going on. If you're not involved in the leadership of the organization, get involved. I will guarantee you that they would love to have your voice and hear your voice. So ask questions. Say, what is Midwest doing? What are they doing in my area? Ask questions and get involved. Probably one of the best things you can do.
Yeah, maybe we can get the links to the different state and regional groups put up in the podcast notes so our listeners from other regions can find their specific one, as well as view some of the cool resources that you guys have shared about ADA Northeast and Midwest Dairy.
You know, Liz and I have a whole bunch of colleagues back at our respective states and regions across the country at DMI National Dairy. There are lots of people like us working on your behalf, on the farmer's behalf. So you're in good hands, and we do this every day. We love and believe in the power of dairy and of dairy farmers. So thank you for all you do.
Yes, I echo Julie's sentiments and just say, reach out anytime. We're here for you. We work for you. And if there's a topic that's missing or is there anything that needs to be addressed when it comes to sports nutrition, just let us know. Reach out.
Thank you, Liz. Thank you, Julie. This has been a great discussion today. It's been interesting to hear how sports nutrition can impact sales and drive trust in dairy. I'm Joe Shockey. I'm a veterinarian and dairy farmer here in West Virginia, and Lori Winkleman from a dairy farm family in Wisconsin. We've enjoyed hosting your Dairy Checkoff podcast. Thanks for joining us today. If you want to hear more about various issues affecting the dairy community, subscribe to this podcast on your favorite podcast streaming service, or you can check out our website, dairycheckoffpodcast.com, for future episodes. Until next time, have a great day. Have a great 2022.